His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz. His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by Brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag.
The ring. Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this. Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America. But when did America ever bless God? You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit, rap for power? You son of bitches, get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
Black power, black power, black power, my family. This is your brother, your comrade in arms, Sean Kwali, broadcasting live to you from the hells and the smells of North America, once again welcoming you to another power-packed edition of Black Power Radio. And we welcome you on behalf of the new Black Panther Party to the chapters that are listening across the globe and across the world. We are thankful for your time. We are thankful for your attention, and we are thankful, most importantly, for your presence. And we want you to stay tuned, to buckle your seatbelts, to hold on and bear with us and roll with us as we hear tonight from the Commander-in-Chief, if you can use that expression, the Commander-in-Chief of the new Black Panther Party, the General, the five-star general himself, doctor and attorney, Malik Zulu Shabazz. And so we wait patiently to hear from my brother. And I don't know if you all are familiar, if everybody listening is familiar with our comrade, but you will get to hear him tonight. And so we had to clear the line. I think that the chairman is on with us now. Let's see. Black Power, Brother Chairman, you on with us?
Black Power, Black Power, I'm on with you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Go ahead. So it's all you now, sir.
All right. Dear beloved brothers and sisters, Black Power, Black Power to you all in the radio listening audience. I'm deeply grateful and highly honored to be on with you tonight, the mighty, mighty new Black Panther Party for self-defense, to other black nationalists, pan-Africanists, revolutionaries, in the liberation movement as well, who are listening. I am honored to be on with you. And to members of the general black population, those who are interested in what we, the new Black Panther Party, are doing for the liberation and salvation and organization of the black nation. So to sisters and brothers and others who happen to be listening again, the greeting words of peace, of black power, assalamu alaikum, hotep, free the land, and black laws for all black people. Dear brothers and sisters, we give honor to our God, the God of the black nation, our creator, and we thank God for giving to us all of the ancestors and all of those greats who have come to us in the line of divine. And in specific tonight, I would like to give honor to the great ideologies and those great leaders who give us the great ideologies of which the new Black Panther Party stand on today. So I give honor tonight to the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey, who is the major prototype and the major great-grandfather of black nationalism on a mass level, and who gives us the red, the black, and the green, and who gives to us the ideology of Africa for the Africans at home and abroad. So we in the new Black Panther Party, we give honor to the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey. We give honor to the messenger of Allah, or the messenger of God, to the black man and the black woman in the pits and the hells of North America, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Garvey, Elijah, we thank them and him, the messenger, for giving us Minister Malcolm X, the fiery prophet of black nationalism, a man that I admire and many of us admire, and it is fair to say that we are his children. The Black Panther Party from the 1960s, the new Black Panther Party, a man like Malcolm X, Minister Khalid Abdul Muhammad, and I, Malik Shabazz, a child of Malcolm X, of his revolutionary spirit and ideology, Garvey, Elijah, and Malcolm. We thank God for those three. And we thank God for the Honorable Dr. Comrade Huey P. Newton, a bold black man who stood up in the midst of the hells of North America and declared, arm yourself or harm yourself, power to the people and death to the fascist pig. And on October 15, 1966, he started off teaching black power, black nationalism, self-defense, and political action. So I thank God for Huey P. Newton. I say the Honorable Comrade Dr. Huey P. Newton, God, Elijah, Malcolm, Huey P. Newton. I thank God also for Brother Kwame Ture, known to us in the 1960s as Stokely Carmichael. And by honoring Kwame Ture, we also get a piece of Dr. Kwame Nkrumah and Sekou Touré, and we get a strong and powerful and healthy dose of Pan-Africanism. And certainly we in the new Black Panther Party are Pan-Africanists. And so we're giving honor here tonight. I give honor here as I open up, and I'm going to go straight to the phone line. I'm not going to teach a lecture tonight. I'm going to go straight to the line, get your questions ready. But I'm letting you know the line of divine that I speak in tonight, as we will deal heavily tonight in the ideology, the philosophy, the program, the platform, the direction of the new Black Panther Party for self-defense. Garvey, Elijah, Malcolm, Huey, Kwame Ture, and of course, we come in the name of a bold, bald-headed black man who took the new Black Panther Party from a single chapter or a single cell or a few small cells, and he represented and elevated and upgraded, and he blew it up all throughout the United Snakes of America, a bold, bald-headed black man to whom much credit is given for what I am and what I am becoming, and for what you are and you are becoming, and he has inspired us much. I speak of the one and only Minister and Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. And you catch a lot of that when you catch Khalid Muhammad. You've caught as much Farrakhan as you need when you catch Khalid Muhammad. You've caught some Malcolm X. You caught some Garvey in that. All of those great ancestors and ideologies we give credit to, but we are here to analyze and deal with it and practice it under the umbrella and the searchlight of truth that have been given to us by a bold, bald-headed black man, Minister and Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. So in all of their names, of those specific great ideological and organizational greats. I don't mean to leave out Harriet Tubman and Angela Davis and all of those that have contributed, even though she's still alive. I was talking about the ancestors, but even those that have gone on. We're not trying to be sexist here. We love Rosa Parks. We love Fannie Lou Hamer. We love all of the great sisters that have come and fought for us here and on the continent of Africa, Ya Asantewa, Queen Nzinga, all of that. But I'm specifically talking about the ideology and the philosophy of black nationalism, Pan-Africanism. What the new Black Panther Party is teaching and practicing, which is revolutionary black nationalism and Pan-Africanism. That it is what we teach and practice and our program. And that's what I want to talk about tonight under the context of Operation Counterattack. All throughout the summer, it's been the summer for the new Black Panther Party. It's been the year of the Panther. There's no doubt about it. That's like 1968 was the year of the Panther. 1968 was the year of the Panther. 2010 has been the year of the new Black Panther. And we need to understand that right now we are walking on the pages of history, that we have shook up America. We have shook up this beast. We have shook up this cracker. But most importantly, we have shaken up the dry bones in the valley amongst our people. They all know and want to know more about this group that have flashed across their TV screen, that may have been lied or slandered on by the devil. And they've heard a lot about us, but now it is your chance and our chance to talk to our people. This is the greatest chance that we have ever had to go fishing for our people out in the sea of confusion and misery. So we're talking about Operation Counterattack. And what we're going to do now to capture the momentum that we have gained and how we have been guided successfully to the point where we can achieve the promised land for the new Black Panther Party. I have not been on this radio show for a while because I have had to spiritually assess where we are and where we must go. I don't like talking all the time. Plus, I like the chance for others to talk. So I am grateful for our National Minister of Communications, that brother that's working this post 24/7 and carries out his assignments all the time and is getting the word out regularly on what we're doing and how we're doing it and why we're doing it, and know that we can close our eyes and go to sleep and he will carry the party line, even if it's just him out there by himself. I'm talking about Minister Sean Kwali, who has kept this radio show in good shape and good condition. And so I have to just drop in every once in a while to guide the ship and let us know where we're going and to update you on what I am doing on your behalf. I'm talking to the new Black Panther Party and to those in the Black Nation. And so I thank him. I thank another one of our co-hosts who has been co-hosting. We met her in South Carolina. She was hosting her own radio show and still has her own radio show, but she helps us co-host many of our shows now and into the future. I asked her to do this, and I support her to in doing it, and I will be guiding her to do it even better and stronger. I'm talking about that bold and courageous black woman, Sister Fasami, out of South Carolina. I want to thank her for bringing her creative spirit to the radio. And so I'm on now. I will be on tonight. I will be her guest on Wednesday night, and I will be back on Saturday night taking questions and answers. Questions and answers. And once I do this for the next couple of shows, I'm going to turn it back over to the host, and you will hear from these other mighty ministers, these other mighty chairmen and firebrands who are fighting this battle out in the hills of North America. We will hear from my brother, my little brother, and a good soldier for our people, Minister King Samir Shabazz. That's right. You will hear from him in just a few days. He will be one of the guests. We will hear from Minister Zaid Muhammad, fighting hard on the ground out there in Newark. We will hear from Minister Bashir Akinyele, fighting hard on the ground out in Newark. You want to know about Divine Allah, what happened since the city council race? What is he doing in the city of Trenton, New Jersey? Divine Allah will be on in just a few days. From the southern region, Brother Drew X. And before we go any further, we want to all give a shout-out to and to write and to reach out to our comrade and send some money to his commissary. And I'm talking about our acting National Minister of Defense, our Deputy National Minister of Defense, Brother DK, who before he had to temporarily be locked down by this beast on some past stuff, was doing a hell of a job and has been doing a great job in his position, and we anxiously await his return to his post as the Deputy National Minister of Defense. Much love to DK. Brothers and sisters, write, reach out to, and give support to our comrade, Brother DK. And so, but you will hear Brother Drew X, who will give you update on that and then some, and what is happening in the southern region, in Little Rock, Arkansas, and other areas. He will be on shortly. We will hear from Sister Amira again, our national assistant. She's working so hard right now to upgrade the new Black Panther Party and take advantage of all the people that are emailing and calling us. Strong shout out to her. What I'm saying is we will hear from all of them soon as guests. But I'm on right now, and I'm going to be quiet and go directly to the phone line. Any question you want to ask, ask it. If you want to challenge me, challenge me. It's all right. I want you to be at ease. If you have a question and you just don't know, I don't want you to be intimidated. I don't want you to think that you'll sound stupid. I don't want you to think that it's some kind of pressure on you where you can't speak up. Ask the questions. Now is the time. And these are the subjects I'm dealing with tonight under the banner of the Operation Counterattack. Strong things have gone on. A lot of progress has been made. Our name is out there before the world. We've made some good progress. Our newspaper has come out at least. It's got to come out again. That's a subject I'll be dealing with heavily on tonight. I'm going to get into that a little bit later. If you don't ask me the question, I'm going to get on it anyway. It's going to be called No Paper, No Panther. No paper, no panther. I'll hit that in a few. But it's been a great year, but we can't get lax is what I'm saying. We can't get hype. We can't get lax and sleep in the hour of our exaltation. Otherwise, it'll just be a moment of hype and we'll blow it. And Malik Zulu Shabazz is not going to blow it. I'm going to rally these troops, rally these comrades, rally the Central Committee, organize these forces and move out on the battlefield for our liberation and salvation. We will capture this momentum. We will not let it be lost. Niggas want it to be lost. There are other niggas out there that are against us that will hope that everything will go away and we will be forced into obscurity or isolation. Negro leaders, civil rights leaders, other jealous and envious ones are out there hoping that this will all go away. Others that are always trying to slight the new Black Panther Party, keep us down, keep us in a certain secondary or subservient position. I will not let these niggas have the last word. It is our day today. Just like it shifted in the 1960s and 65 and 66 as the momentum turned from civil rights to black power and to the Panther, history has a way of repeating itself. And we are to be history beaters, not just history repeaters. We are to do better than what would happen in the late 1960s. But it is our day, and we must do something for ourselves because there are other Negroes out there that ain't going to do nothing for us. But the people will back us. The people will back us. Let's go to the phone lines.
All right. Hand up. 805-235. You're on the air with Black Panther Radio. Question or comment? Black Power, you're on the air. 805-235. You have a question? Okay, let's move on. 201-598. You're on the air. Black Power Radio. Your question, please.
Black Power, this is Al Starry from the News Chapter. My question is, what do you think about the march that's happening August 28th to reclaim the dream from Martin Luther King?
Yes, that is an excellent question. I don't know, my dear sister, of any march that is planned. I'm willing to be corrected, but my research does not tell me that there will be a march on August the 28th. It tells me that there will be that Reverend Al Sharpton has a rally at Dunbar High School, which is a high school on New Jersey Avenue and New York Avenue in Washington, D.C., and he is having his rally, I'm assuming, at the gymnasium of this high school. And also on that day, that another rally is being planned by the Tea Party on the Mall. That is my intelligence. Is that what you know to be also the truth?
Yes, sir, because I have the flyer I'm sitting here reading now. It says
what does he say he will? Where does it say Sharpton will be?
Well, it's basically saying that Reverend Al Sharpton, the president and founder of National Action Network, he'll be exactly where you said, sir, and at 11, there's a rally from 11, I guess, till 1 p.m., and they're going to march to the King Memorial.
They are going to march to the King Memorial.
Yes, sir.
Well, let me say this. The reason why I have chosen not to involve the new Black Panther Party in this is because after carefully searching and researching what is happening, I don't think it's to our advantage. And I do not like calling our troops out on the battlefield if I am not guaranteed that we will be some way, somehow effective. Now, Sharpton has not invited us. And Sharpton will not invite us. Al Sharpton, throughout this whole process of us being attacked by the United States first being attacked by the United States Justice Department, then still and coming under intense attack by the Republicans, Glenn Beck, all of those forces which he claims he's against, he would not as much as even have me or us on the radio, on his radio show, which he hosts nationally every day. He basically, it's hard for me to use another word, just bullshitted us the whole way along. Would not allow us on at all. Would not do a show on it. Would not allow us to get our side of the story out. I left him several long messages. Normally he calls me back. This time he got the hell away from me. He wouldn't even allow. I told him, I said, Reverend Sharpton, I said, even if you won't do what you should do, which is to stand with us and to come out and say, no, Mr. Right Wing, Mr. Republican, Mr. Whoever, you're lying on these people. I've seen their work on Sean Bell. I've been a part of their work on Megan Williams in West Virginia. I know the works of attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz all the way back from Howard University School of Law and through A, B, C, D, Million Man March, Youth March, all of my things that I've done. If you're not going to stand up for what you should stand up, sir, at least just give us a chance to present our side of the story, similar to the way James Mtume and others did in the black community. Sharpton shut his radio off from us. He would not support us at all in any way. There are some reasons behind that. And so I say all that to say is I'm not going to bring the new Black Panther Party out to try to get in a line with Al Sharpton, knowing Sharpton don't want us there, and he don't want me there. And we're hanging around, trying to hang around something that Sharpton is doing. I mean, whatever Sharpton is doing, fine, but I'm not kissing Sharpton's ass. You know, no disrespect to you. I'm just talking to those that need to hear that. I'm not going to kiss Al Sharpton's ass and run behind his march. We got enough power right here in America to do what we will. Now, if I don't see us able to go out there with our own force and able to go out there with which I really want to go out there, which is over 1,000 black people, at least if it's going to be 10,000 Tea Party members, then I would need at least 1,000 black people to go out there and deal with this cracker. And so since I may not have that much, I'm not going to make the new Black Panther Party participate in something that could be either not worth our time or embarrassing to us, or to go out there with 60 or 50 or 60 members to be surrounded by 5,000 crackers and police and yell at the Tea Party from a distance. And so since Sharpton has got his own series of moves the way he's doing, and it doesn't seem like there's a way in for us there, they don't want us to speak, they ain't going to let us speak, I'm not going to beg this nigga to speak, he's not going to invite us. And since I'm not going to go participate in something that I don't think there's a way, I mean, because the hype is really, if you're going to go out there against the Tea Party, hell, if them crackers start throwing stuff at us and talking stuff, we got to be ready to kick their ass. I mean, that's just that real. I can't go out there and say you're going to just 10,000 crackers shouting you down and 60 of us shouting black power. I'm not going to put us in a position to be embarrassed by nobody, not as strong as we are right now. And so to be honest, sister, I just let Sharpton go on and do whatever he going to do. You know, and we have to understand right now that a lot of people out here are not going to open the doors for us. We have to open our own doors. And so there are certain events that if it's not to our strategic advantage, I'm willing to sit it out and wait for a day when our platform, our ideology, our organization can look good. And so that's all I'm saying, sister. I thought about going. I tried to find a way that we would fit in best. But I haven't found it at this point, and I'm not going to have the Panthers running around chasing Al Sharpton and chasing the Tea Party. Yes, I want war with the Tea Party. And there are grounds in which to fight on. These crackers are having rallies all over, other rallies that maybe are smaller and better to our strategic advantage. There are other crackers that I do want to confront, Rush Limbaugh and all of them that are sitting at their radio stations in Florida and other areas. And so for strategic reasons, I'm not going, and I don't advise the Panthers to go. But if y'all want to go, if some people out there want to go, y'all go. But all I know is that we're not invited. Malik Zulu Shabazz is not invited. And Al Sharpton has given us a cold shoulder all the way through this whole deal, as well many others have given us lukewarm. I can deal with them later as well. And so that's my thinking, sister. I'm sorry about that, but I have to tell you the truth. And missed many events that Khalid Muhammad pulled me out of for the similar reasons.
It sounds like a plan, so I just wanted to be clear on that. Me being a black August baby born on August 20th, I see a lot of business that the 1960s has run into 2010, and I wanted to get your input on that. Do you actually think that there's going to be another riot? Because I actually see one myself.
Well, that's a great question. We don't necessarily call them riots. We call them rebellions. It wasn't the Detroit riot in 68. It was the Detroit rebellion. It wasn't the Watts riot. It was the Watts rebellion. It wasn't the L.A. riot in 1992 in Los Angeles, California. It was the Los Angeles rebellion. And so I must say, yes, I see many more rebellions coming forth in this. I want to look to see them and hope to see them. Rebellions against police brutality, rebellions against poverty, squalor, and want in the ghettos of America. And the more we make our people conscious and wake them up to the truth, and the more that we make them aware of the conditions, and the conditions in themselves are going to get worse. America is going to get worse. The poverty and want in America is going to get worse. And the worse it gets, the more the people are going to rebel. And it's not just going to be the blacks. the white man is going to rebel in his own way. Right now he's calling for civil war or rebellion. He is going to be a cantankerous devil in his own house. And so America is a house of dissatisfaction. And by God's grace, in a righteous way, we are going to increase the dissatisfaction. And so if we do our jobs, there will be more rebellions coming in the hells of America. All right?
Yes, sir.
Much love.
I was going in the streets of North, like, I've been trying to approach people with the teachings and the thoughts that I put from the new Black Panther Party, and a lot of people are scared of it. Like, how do you approach the person to where they don't dishonor the things that we're trying to put out here in the streets, like getting them aware and to be conscious?
You say you're trying to get the program of the Panther apart, but they seem to be afraid.
Yes, sir.
Then you have to know, that's an awesome question, then you have to know how to put the program across in a smooth way. I was taught by Minister Khalid Muhammad about the iron hand and the velvet glove. The iron hand and the velvet glove. The iron hand is strong, and our position is strong. Our look is strong. What we stand for is strong. But we have to put a velvet glove over it so it's easy for the people to give us a handshake back or to feel or to grip us back, because our people have been softened by our oppression and by the dominant world of white supremacy. And so what I'm saying is this, you have to be able to put this across in a smooth way. And many will follow, sister. There are many that follow what I'm teaching, and there are many that support me that are outside of the Panther Party. But it is because I'm able to put a strong policy across in a smooth way so that the brother or sister in the community and those that may be hesitant can warm up to the Panther program, because they can warm up to some attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. It depends on what type of war drove sometimes, what type of war drove that you're rolling in. We have many types of war drove in the Panther Party, and some of it is absolutely needed and necessary. We need soldiers, sisters and brothers in the boots and the fatigues, beret, pistol belt, sometimes baton on the hip, and sometimes that's absolutely necessary. Other times, in the spirit of my eye, we have to have greater balance. So if you have a chapter or a group of Panthers, some of them are dressed military style down to the key for security reasons, and many of our brothers and sisters love it. They honk in their horns and they love it. But others within the same formation of the chapter may have to have another kind of appeal that allows others to come closer. And so in their wardrobe, they may have an African outfit. In their wardrobe, they might be rocking the black slacks and the powder blue shirt, throwback style from the original Panther Party. Or they may be dressed closer to the civilian way, while the soldiers are dressed in another way. The sister may not. If you're a sister, I don't advise, even though every sister should have a pair of military boots and fatigues and all of that. I'm here to tell every black woman, every sister that's on the line right now, that it is all right, and I encourage you to wear dresses, as Khalid Muhammad had us doing in his final days, had the sisters doing. Any brother doing that, we're going to beat your behind. But any sister, any sisters, to be able to wear your dresses. Wear earrings, wear your sandals, wear your heels, wear attire that is feminine, and allow other sisters to be comfortable coming into the party and to be the beautiful black goddess, feminine women and sisters they are. We don't want nobody to get confused that this is an organization full of butch women, because it ain't happening. Ain't no butch women up in here. And so, sister, if you want to attract people to the party, sometimes you have to be like the people. They're gorillas, G-U-G-U-E, however else it's spelled, all over America, I mean all over the world, and they dress like the people. They're in Iraq. They're in Afghanistan. They're in Southeast Asia. They're in Africa. And they dress like and are amongst the people and organizing like the people. So never get so far off where you don't have the ability to move and maneuver amongst the people and fit in amongst the people, similar to the way the man in, or woman in camouflage fits in amongst the grass or the reeds or the trees or the leaves. There's a science to all of that, sister. So don't be too far away from the people. Another way to do it is to be able, that's how you appear, how you teach. You teach strong, but you have to be able to teach in a way to explain it to our people. We don't need to yell and scream and holler at our people. We don't just walk up and down the street and just holler at the elder, Black Power, and scream at the elder, scream at the people. Talk to the people. Listen to the people. You know, you, and the more we focus, and I'm going to take some others. We're going to have to take some more calls. But the more you would focus on explaining to the people, explain the program, sit down with our people, talk to, get to know them. Do like Master Farah Muhammad and sit down and have a bowl of soup with our brothers and our sisters and talk over their problems, you know. And that's the way, when you get in tune with your community, your people, their needs, their wants, their desires, and be with them and listen to them and then help them. The best way to convert somebody, my sister, is to help them. You can show somebody what you do better than you can tell them what you do. And that one that may be hesitant, if you will offer them a helping hand, if you will offer them something in the neighborhood or the hood that could help to elevate them, show them that you can help organize them to solve a problem. Just like they in the original Panther Party were working on solving the streetlight problem where somebody got hit. You could solve something for that brother or sister that may be hesitant. They will become a convert. And so those are some keys, not all the keys. Those are some keys to your questions. And I would say that the general question, if you want those to be attracted to you and others that are being successful in this hour, then you should follow my example, dear sister, and listen to what I'm saying and go about this the way I'm going about it, you know, and you will be successful. You should be successful in this hour with the Panther program if you know how to work it, because the eye is on the Panther. I thank you for your question, sister, and we'll come back. I'm going to be on for 3 shows. Much love to you, much love to New Jersey, and much love to Newark up there. We'll take some other questions. Much love to you and Black Power.
Black Power, sir.
All right. 314-327, you're on the air, Black Power Radio. Your question, please.
How you doing? Peace. I'm calling to find out what is the ideology of the new Black Panther Party.
Yes, the ideology of the new Black Panther Party is revolutionary black nationalism and Pan-Africanism. Revolutionary black nationalism and Pan-Africanism. It is an ideology that the followers of the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey and those that believe in Garveyism and believe in the prominence of Africa and the ideology of Africa for the Africans at home and abroad. It is an ideology that all of those who believe in that can find comfort and find home under the ideology of the new Black Panther Party. It is an ideology that encompasses the Black Muslim doctrine as given to us by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Minister Malcolm X, and those that believe in Black Muslim theology, or what we call Black Liberation theology, which is a part of revolutionary black nationalism and Pan-Africanism. It's in point number 1 of our 10-point program. It speaks about Black Liberation theology as part of our divine and our acceptance of. It is an ideology, again, my sister, that the black, that those that believe, we're talking about the major ideological forefathers, that those that believe in black Muslim ideology, of which there are many in the Panther Party, that either directly believe in the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad or believe in a version of that that had been given to Brother Clarence 13X, known as Father Allah of the 5% Nation, they are home, they are on firm and warm ground here as well, here in the new Black Panther Party, meaning that those that believe that the black man is God and the black woman is goddess, you have a home here. That those that believe that the white man is the devil, as taught by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, you have a home here. That those that believe that we should have a separate land and territory of our own, you have a home here. Those that believe that the original man is the Asiatic black man, the maker, the owner, the cream of the planet Earth, the father of civilization, the God of the universe, yes, you have a home here. Those that believe in the teachings of Minister Malcolm X, and those that believe in straight-up black nationalism, that the politics and the black community should be controlled by black people, that the economics in the black community should be controlled by black people, black nationalism, that the education in the black community should be controlled by black people, that's black nationalism, or what we call black power. The ideology of Minister Malcolm X, the revolutionary ideology that is taught to us by Minister Malcolm X, if you believe in that, you can find a home here. The ideology of the early Black Panther Party from 1966 in Oakland, if you will read their newspapers from 1967 and in early 68, you will see that they said that they were black nationalists and they believed in black power, and their program was self-defense and political action. Self-defense and political action, and their line was black power. If you believe in that, we are the fulfillment of that today. We are the extension of that today, of that original Black Panther Party and that ideology that started off in Oakland with Huey P. Newton and Bobby Seale in 1966. We are the extension of that. If you believe in that, you are a part of revolutionary black nationalism. What do we mean when we say revolutionary black nationalism? We mean an ideology and a philosophy that overturns and uproots anything that gets in its path. And therefore, when we talk about black nationalism, we don't mean what the original Panther Party would call pork chop nationalism, or a nationalism that seeks to merely get along with the other cultures in society, some of which are antithetical or diabolical or destructive to us having what we want. What do I mean? When I say revolutionary black nationalism, we mean that the black man, its example, must be loyal to the black woman. And that the black man cannot have a white, that the black man must be loyal to the black woman. But we don't say that it's all right for the black man to have a white woman. We mean that if you must be being with the black woman, you must be against associating with the white woman 100%. That's revolutionary in the cultural sense. Being for black values and the destruction of white values. Not merely the coexistence of the two, because the two cannot coexist. So we talk about revolutionary black nationalism. We're talking about bringing into a nation, a black nation of our own, and the process of achieving that. We're also talking about the destruction of the white norms, ideologies, the forces and the powers that oppress us and prevent us from establishing black nationalism. You can't establish black nationalism until a complete constructive change or a revolution occurs to take out white nationalist dominance over black community and the black nation. You can't establish what we call and are fighting for, in the temporary sense, community control unless you overthrow the white shackles of dominance that prevent you from having community control. So you really can't even be a black nationalist unless it's revolutionary. Unless it's revolutionary. And so we spoke again, Garvey, Elijah, Malcolm, Huey P. Newton, other black liberation theologies accepted as well. If you're a black Hebrew Israelite that's got some sense, you're welcome here. If you're a black Hebrew Israelite that believes that the Bible is the end-all and the be-all of everything, then you're out of here because we got knowledge that can supersede that. But if you believe in a revolutionary black Hebrew liberation theology and are willing to accept the fact that the Hebrew faith come out of Africa, that the Islamic faith in the temporary sense brought by Muhammad ibn Abdullah comes out of Africa, if you're willing to recognize the origin of it all as in Africa, that it's in Kemet, that it's in ancient Nubia, Kush, and Ethiopia, then you will be at home here with all black liberation theologies. But you can't come up in here saying the Quran is the end-all and the be-all. The Quran is a good book, but it is not the end-all and the be-all. It is, as it says, it has books that have come before it. The Bible have books that come before it. Amen and amen Ra. And so look, these are the points I'm just touching on. I'll continue to touch on it in future shows. But we come to all of those great, sister, and we also, and we were given this approach by Minister Khalid Abdul Muhammad. He gives us this approach where we can embrace the 5%er, embrace the believer of black Muslim ideology, embrace the believer in the West African religions and the Akan religions and the Yoruba faiths, that we can embrace the Garveyite, that we can embrace the original Panther, that we can embrace the Pan-Africanists, and that we are supposed to be able to speak in revolutionary tongues, as I'm speaking to you in now, a revolutionary tongue that can speak to and draw all of those in together and not split and divide the nation. And so this is revolutionary. This is some of the fundamental ingredients of revolutionary black nationalism and Pan-Africanism. Pan-Africanism means that we are for the unification and the liberation of all African peoples, primarily the African continent first and foremost, free Africa. That's on our uniform. And the Africa that the Panthers leaping out of clearly states that we are Pan-Africanists. And we are doing that today. We are living in the era of Pan-Africanism for the Panther Party. The new Black Panther Party is in France. It's in England. It's in South Africa. It's in several foreign countries to America. It's in several areas in the African diaspora, more properly. And it is growing. We are Pan-Africanists and will be Pan-Africanists. And a revolutionary Pan-Africanist means we're an end to imperialism and capitalism and settler colonialism in all its forms, meaning free Africa, and that the enemy and white dominance must be driven and destroyed from Africa, and that we must have a place in Africa, an African ideology. We don't make no distinctions here and put down a so-called cultural nationalist. We love our brothers and sisters. We want you to wear your dashiki, wear your buba, you wear your gele, you wear all of your African attire here. You are welcome. But we just don't want to get so caught up into wearing the trappings of Africa that we forget that we got to fight to free Africa. And so, my sister, this is not all. I know my time is running. We've been rocking up in here. These are some of the fundamentals of revolutionary black nationalism and Pan-Africanism. And I would say over these next two broadcasts, I would safely say that everything that I will be teaching will be revolutionary black nationalism and Pan-Africanism as I have learned it from Minister Khalid Abdul Muhammad and as I currently experience and see it and live it right now as your chairman here in the hills of North America. I thank you for the question, sister. That's part of the answer. I could write a book on it, but I'll be over it. Every time I ask a question, I'll be going over it more and more.
One more question, Chairman. What is your thought on the Facebook industry?
It's mixed. Facebook can be effective organizing tool if we don't become deluded to think that Facebook is the revolution or Facebook becomes first. You're a fool if you think that Facebook is your first and primary method of organizing, or you spend all your time on Facebook or so consumed by your posts and responses on Facebook that you forget to take a look at the community right around you and your mission. So it can all also be like dope. You just be on Facebook and it's just like dope. You go into another world really believing you're doing or saying something. You really ain't doing a goddamn thing if you approach it in the wrong way. You can also misrepresent your organization if you are outside of the party line. If you're on Facebook teaching your own teaching, but you say you represent us, and you got your own teaching and ideology out there that is outside of the party line, then you're really at a disadvantage in this hour. We encourage you not to do that. The Panther Party has a party line. Everything that we say is black is not necessarily the party line. There's a whole lot of people out here teaching something in the name of black and teaching and going about it every way they go about it, sister. But that is not necessarily the party line of the new Black Panther Party. We have a party line. We have a 10-point platform. We have a legacy and a doctrine that was given to us by Khalid Muhammad, the Honorable Khalid Muhammad. We have also the Central Committee of the Panther Party and what we are publishing today, which is the same thing, but it has some upgrades. And you have the party line as I'm giving it to you right now. This is what we teach. And Panthers that are lined up with us, they are teaching what we teach and teach what our leadership teach. No organization teach and members just out there teach whatever the hell they want to teach in the name of that organization. I ain't never seen that. The Nation of Islam teach that are under Farrakhan, teach them some Nation of Islam as taught by Farrakhan. Or they go to hell else, somewhere else. And that's how it was in the 60s. I can't even name too many organizations today. If they civil rights, if they were Sharpton, they teach civil rights as taught.
All right, Black Power finally lost the chairman, you know. He's bringing the heat, so we're going to get him back on. Everybody just hold tight. Of course, hold your positions. He'll be right back on here in a quick second, but we just want to make sure the airways is clear enough for him to get on. And like always, this is a thing that goes on a lot now. When the heat comes, then the enemy want to clip the lines. When the heat comes, the enemy want to clip the lines. So here he is now. All right, Black Power, Brother Jim, you're back on now, sir.
I'm black again. I know time is running. And so what I say, all of that to say, is that for the brothers and sisters in the new Black Panther Party, I would like to see you talking about when your meeting is. What are you doing in the community? That's what I want to see on Facebook. Not necessarily should a black woman have 10 husbands. Laugh out loud. Just silly stuff we're doing. You know, we don't have to, or attacking other organizations, and we are not in our party line. It's not necessarily that. If you're representing us and you're just out there saying anything about any organization and that's not the party line of the Panther Party, then you're hurting us. You're not helping us. You're hurting us. And so if you're going to use Facebook, yes, it's time for personal things. I mean, I have my post up where I may express something about myself or how I'm feeling for the day. But moreover, I understand that the world is watching what the new chairman of the new Black Panther Party is saying, and I try to stay on business. It's all right to let people know some personal things about you. Some of that's part of leadership and why people would follow you. Am I still on?
Yes, sir. You're still on, Brother Chairman. You're rolling.
Okay, and why people would follow you. But don't get too carried away with us. You represent us out there. when you're doing that. And moreover, understand that Facebook is not the world. Anybody that's constantly on Facebook is not out here handling the business. You need to take a look at the face of the black man and the black woman out here in the black community. You cannot tweet and goddamn post your way through the world. You're going to have to shake some hands and talk to some people and get back to the human reality of black human to black human. And that's my thoughts on that, sister. It's whatever you use it for, make it revolutionary and keep it in the party line and don't embarrass us. And let's get to the real work that I will have to get to in these other shows. I think I got 5 minutes left. Is that right?
No, sir. No, sir, Brother Chairman. You got an hour and 4 minutes left to roll, sir.
On the internet or off the internet?
No, straight up on the actual show. Straight up on the show.
I'm on the actual show 2 hours. Oh, we rocking, man. This is why this brother, however they've expanded the show, let's give him a strong black hand. Because we need these 2 hours tonight. Even though I'll take these 2 hours. I'm sitting here with Brother Akbar. Akbar is back. Y'all in trouble now. Akbar is back with Malik Zulu Shabazz, huh? Y'all in trouble now. Brother Akbar is back. He will be in charge of the newspaper. He is taking charge. We're taking over the newspaper. No more delays. I have Akbar right here. The CDs, the distribution, and the management of the operation, we're going to be like Huey and Bobby. It's going to be dangerous. Like Muhammad and Bilal out there, or Farrakhan and Khaled, or however you want to work it, Malik and Akbar. We're going to rock right here in Washington, D.C. The solution is right up in here. Let's take some more questions.
Okay, yes, sir. 805-235, you're on the air, Black Power Radio. Your question for the National Chairman, Black Power.
Black Power, peace and love. It's Warrior Woman.
Hey, Black
Warrior
Power.
Woman.
The comment I wanted to talk about was revolution and the unity between the native or indigenous people and the black people. I heard you're coming to our youth conference this year in April.
Sister Warrior Woman, I'm certainly. Dear brothers and sisters, she has to be brought back on for a whole show, number one. But I thank her for calling in. But we need a whole show from Sister Warrior Woman to explain more in depth, but I am for, sister, clearly, and I bear witness to why we are for a strong alliance between the black and the red and the indigenous peoples. It is given example to by our alliance with you and your forces, and the fact that we will be at the youth convention with Sister Warrior Woman and all of her people and Chief Ernie Longwalker. We will be in California in April. And we're going up into the mountains, onto the land, to participate in all of the activities and all of the training. We will be there, and I'm going to be there. I'm going to make this trip myself. And so,
Black
yes,
Power.
You know I'm going to be there. I got nothing but
right.
love, Warrior Woman. I'm so surprised you even on here to listen to
hey,
our show. That means our show is spread.
They went and cut me off earlier, and then I tried to get back in, and it was... but I'm glad I got in there, and I'm glad you have another hour.
Brother
so
Tom,
I,
please
I,
book
I,
Warrior Woman.
Yes, sir.
Please book Warrior Woman on the show. As soon as my shows are up, book her as a guest.
Yes, sir.
And bring her on. But all brothers and sisters, what we need you to know is also when we're talking about nationalism and Pan-Africanism, you must understand that we have an alliance with the other oppressed non-white peoples of the planet that are revolutionary. And so you'll never want to get so narrow in your nationalism or narrow in your Pan-Africanism that you understand that the same dog, as it is written in our 10-point program, to the red man and the brown man, the same rabid white dog that bit them bit us too. So you want to understand that we are in 100% unity with the revolutionary indigenous forces in America and throughout the earth. We are 100% in tune with the revolutionary indigenous forces of the brown man and the brown woman that are in America and throughout the earth. No Panther should be out there saying that this is our country and we don't want the Mexicans in here because they're taking our jobs. You sound like a reactionary fool. I've heard some of you out there saying that. We are in unity and in solidarity with them all over the face of the planet Earth. And we'll go into that further when we have Warrior Woman back on. But you all must understand this, and you must have enough sense to research and to read. I want to tell everybody that we must study more. The Panther Party must study more. You must be able to defend, to define, and to defend what we are saying if you are to develop this program. And you cannot define anything if you don't have knowledge. You must study the history of the black nation and the black peoples. Study the history of the red nation and the red peoples. Study the history of the brown nation and the brown peoples from now into antiquity. And therefore, you will be able to relate and to talk and to win friends and allies. Because in order to respect somebody else, you have to know them and have knowledge. But much love to Sister Warrior Woman. We'll see her in April and probably sooner. There are many things that we have to do together. Sister, I will be calling you as we continue to work on this revolutionary united front. Much love to you. We bow to you.
Peace and love.
Peace and love. That warms me up. This show has got a lot of listeners. Let's keep on moving.
Yes, sir. 404-694. You're on the air. The National Chairman, Black Power Radio. Your question, please.
Going on, this is God Zulu from DropSquad.com. How you doing today, Doctor?
I'm doing fine, soldier. How you feeling?
Feeling pretty good so far. I got two questions for you. The second question, if it's difficult to answer, or if you feel like, you know, you don't want to go into the details about it, you know, in the vein of privacy or secrecy, then by all means avoid it. But if you can answer it, answer it. First question is, you know, I've been following you since I saw you with Khalil Abdul-Muhammad. And a lot of the shows I see you doing here lately on television, you know, with your Sean Hannity's, Geraldo's, things of that nature. My question to you, first question is, if they don't give you the opportunity to get your point across, express yourself, why even bother giving them the time of day?
Yes. Is that the question?
That's the question, yeah. If they're not giving you the opportunity to speak, because I'm noticing that every time you say something, you know, they're talking over you.
Yeah, they crack your cuts off. It is true.
So, I mean, why even give them the time of day? Why even waste the time to go there if you're not allowed to get your message out?
Okay, well, let me answer that question. That's a great question. Hey, my first answer to the question, specifically recently, is that I have reluctantly gone out to even deal with any of those shows recently, only because we made a decision that we have to because of certain false information that was being put out in the public.
Right.
Knowing that the enemy is going, that he's not going to be fair, knowing that he has information that he's presenting in a biased way, but nevertheless, we had to go out and clear certain things up to get certain information across to achieve strategic objectives. I need to let you know that we don't, me and Hashim and Zynga, even before this summer, were sitting back laughing. Many of those shows had banned us anyway because of our strong position. I'm talking about O'Reilly and Hannity. And we were laughing that we didn't need any of them to really get our job done. We don't have their information. There are organizations, dear brother, like the National Action Network and Jesse Jackson's organization. You know that Jesse Jackson every day sends out a national press release. Every day he's saying something on something. These people live for the press. They are always trying to contact the press to get in the press. Believe it or not, we are not like that, brother. We don't chase them down. We don't try to really get on their shows. They come to us and press us.
Okay.
So, that's one point. But let me go, I'm going to go a little bit deeper into that. Go into that deeper. brother, if I could, there are different kinds of networks. Unfortunately, our enemies at Fox News have been the only ones that really allow us even a chance to speak or debate. A chance to speak or debate. The so-called liberal station like CNN and others, white liberals, will not allow us on. MSNBC or other hosts that will allow you to get a point across have a conspiracy not to allow us on and to only permit civil rights leaders from being able to come on because they have an editorial policy that they will only allow civil rights leaders or the civil rights perspective, never the revolutionary or black nationalist perspective. And so, brother, you really, really are not going to be going on those shows a lot. And I really prefer not to, to go out here and deal with this crazy cracker half the time. But you know, unfortunately, the other liberal, let me make one point. The other liberal white stations are the ones that you can, that I believe that are, give you a fair interview. I believe Anderson Cooper would give you a fair interview. I'm talking about CNN, but they will not have us on. The black press, this is my problem, and explains why times in the past when I have gone on Fox News and why in my career under Khalid Muhammad, he told me to go on and to debate these devils. He said that even though they try to cut you off and are rude, you still can get some of your points across. And we have been able to get some points across, even though these days I'm reluctant to do that in my position and stature. But the black press is my problem. It's TV One. It's BET. It's the black newspaper. It's the black so-called radio. It's the Al Sharpton show. It's these other niggas out here that I could really get a point across to the black public that have conspired to block black power, conspired to block revolution, that put us in the position where damn near if we don't get a shot out here on Sean Hannity or something, we won't be heard nowhere at all because niggas have shut down on us. Now, I cut you off, brother, so you go.
No, I'm real satisfied with your answer, Doctor. I'm real satisfied with your answer. You know, and I guess that old saying that necessity is the mother of invention.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this is the prime time to start digging into some of those grassroots news organizations, those people who are way down at the bottom, who are looking for that. That outlet, that individual to allow them that outlet or to get them that notoriety to the black public. You know, those very small mom and pop, as you were, organizations, not unlike this Blog Talk Radio channel that you're on right now.
Yes, sir.
But my next question is, and like I said earlier, in the interest of security, if you don't want to answer it, I wouldn't be offended or anything like that. But it's just something.
Go right ahead, soldier.
You explained a minute ago about the party line of the new Black Panther Party and the way you'd like for the members to conduct themselves in light of, you know, having proper communication with other organizations. Here in 2010, we have almost numbered in the hundreds, if not thousands, of small fractions of organizations of people, black people, who are, even though they're coming from different places or different perspectives as far as their black power or black consciousness is concerned, they're coming from the same place in the heart, which is trying to get black people free. You know, they're not Black Panther Party per se, but they may be under many other monikers. But since the Black Panther Party is one of those organizations that is well-known to the eye, well-known to the ear, and has an organizational structure already in place, are you or do you, as a party, make an effort to connect with those smaller satellite organizations just to give them a heads up on how to, you know, align themselves with the proper contact to get their organization streamlined, not necessarily trying to bring them into the fold of the Black Panther Party, but to help them be better organizations for themselves in an ultimate effort to, when you are able to step out there one day, you won't only have the Black Panther Party standing behind you, but you'll have the Black Panther Party and those thousands of other satellite organizations who, even though they may not view or feel the same things you may feel, they'd be coming from the same place. I mean, am I making myself clear? Do you have a system in place already that is reaching out to these small satellite organizations to help them to streamline themselves so they can one day grow up to be well-known like the Panther Party?
That is a powerful question. And I would say the answer is twofold. On one level, on a mass level, I would say the Panther Party itself, dear brother, is still trying to mature and solidify and strengthen and grow itself to the extent where it could say to another organization, this is how you do it.
Okay.
But they're still going to take some, I'm talking about us collectively now, as an organization, still going to take growth and development for us to go to the next organization or the local organizations that we see. In every city I go to, there are local Black nationalist or Black-oriented organizations or just community organizations. And in many cities and in many areas, we need to perfect ourselves before we can start telling the next brother or sister what to do.
Okay.
That's one answer. But on another level, we are always, for example, on the level that I am operating on, I have the capacity and others that I will name in a moment that we are absolutely working with other local or grassroots or up-and-coming organizations to mentor them, to befriend them, to be a brother or sister, ally, or organizer with them, and to help show them the way so that as they come up out of the dirt or the darkness into the light of the sun, that they will have some protection. For example, in Baltimore, Maryland, there's a dedicated and committed group called Soul Vivers Nation, or Reality Speaks. They're a Baltimore organization. They are Black nationalists. They love Khalid Abdul-Muhammad. They have respect for me. They are my allies. We share, we communicate, we cooperate, whatever they need, I am there for them. If you go to Newark, New Jersey, there's a cluster of smaller Black organizations, some nationalist-oriented, other community-based organizations, that have the backing and the protection of experienced organizers in that city, Minister Zaid Muhammad, Brother Bashir Akinyele, Brother Sharif, Sister Keisha, and others. And they are absolutely a friend to those smaller organizations. There are organizations in different cities and towns all over America that I know and have connections with, and I can tell you, brother, that I am their friend and their ally, and the same case vice versa, because, to be honest, and I'm going to say this to the Panthers in general, it's the grassroots organizations and the smaller organizations out there that are our real friends. All of the big boys are not necessarily our friends. All of the big boys have reasons why they do not want to stand with the Panthers. Most of them are bad reasons. And so I would encourage. There are other young nationalists I see trying to come up. If I could form an alliance with the, or if I could reach out to the, some of the other young brothers I see out there, what is his name? Brother Seti, and they call themselves the Black Power Cartel and others. I would reach out to them, or the others who are in the RBG network. They RBG this, RBG that. I don't attack them. Some of them have attacked us and attacked me. I do not attack them. I know that the time will come when they will understand that we are supposed to be together and not apart. And so many of them are now coming this way with a hand out towards us when yesterday they would criticize us. And so for all of those that believe in the RBG, the red, the black, and the green, even though you don't want to become a Panther at the moment, or you don't want to come under this leadership, I am your brother, I am your ally, and I will forge an alliance with you. We should be fighting the devil and not each other. And so I'm here to consult, is what I'm saying. I will give out my email, brother, and I will consult. I will advise. I will give all of the experience that I have organizing in this struggle. I will share it with my other young brothers and sisters that are trying to come up. Because it's not a competition. I can be reached at ShabazzLawOffice@yahoo.com. ShabazzLawOffice@yahoo.com. Brother, we must build an African or a black united front. We must build it on a local level, a national level, and we must lock arms with each other. I agree with that.
I'm glad you answered that question, Doctor, because I agree with it, too. I feel like that the tides of change are getting higher. A blind man can see right now that nationwide, if not worldwide, that the entire consciousness is changing. People are just waking up. And if they have something to wake up to, be all the better. But thank you so much for asking my questions, all right?
No problem here, sir. And I'm here to answer even more. Thank you, brother.
Black Power.
You can email me. We'll talk further. I'll email. I would like to give out organizing tips to anybody who would take them.
Oh, I got your email. I got your email. I will be sending
okay,
you a
message. We together, soldier. We together
right.
In Black Power.
Black Power.
All right, Brother Chen, we got some questions from the chat room. They want to know, what is your stance on the situations with the Mexicans right now, the immigration situation?
I believe that the white man, and not even believe, I know for actual fact that the white man, the European settler colonialist, has stolen every square inch of America. America is a settler colony from coast to coast, a criminal settler who were let out of the jails of Europe, have come to America, killing the Indian, bringing Africans into slavery, and killed his way through his so-called manifest destiny doctrine, from coast to coast, all the way across America. Daniel Boone and the boys, Lewis and Clark, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, all of them, the French, the British, the Americans who occupied this nation, they are criminals, and they have the blood of the red and the brown on their hands. And so it is impossible for me to get caught up in any border dispute or for us as an organization to take any position against the brown people in a border dispute. We don't have a border dispute. The border is illegal. I don't care if 1 million Mexicans cross the border. It only means that it's a less many, more white folks in the equation. That means it'll be more black and brown. I know some disagree with that, but I'm telling you that the Mexican is not my enemy. I grew up in Los Angeles, California. I grew up around that. It doesn't bother me. They don't bother me. It's the enemy that bothers me. And so I understand right now that with the so-called immigration, which we need to understand is that with the immigration question, with the border question, it is the rise of white racism and white reactionism in America that is making white folks take harsh measures against the black and the brown. And so what they're doing is they're sending armed troops to the border, armed militias to the border, Obama sending troops to the border, the Tea Party and the militias sending militias to the border, devil sheriff out there, out there in Maricopa County, I forget how you pronounce it, it's the county that Phoenix is in. You're one of the most racist sheriffs in the country, and we must understand that the same dog that bites us bites them too. The same racial profiler that's profiling them profiles us too. And so that is the rise of white racism in a higher form, white reactionaryism in a higher form that is oppressing our brown brothers and our brown sisters. And even those that are here legally, so-called legally, seeking to drive them and harass them from the country. And so I wish that the new Black Panther Party was in Arizona right now. If we were in Arizona right now, I would be in Arizona helping to fight with them and to set up anti-police patrols and to help rally them in the streets. I support them. I don't give a damn how many of them bum rush the border. It's enough land in America for damn near everybody. And so I'm not saying and stop fronting out there like the Mexican is taking your job. Nigga, you wasn't working anyway. Stop fronting like they're taking your job. You should get up and long ago have mastered the work assignments that will make it impossible for them. They are coming in and taking the jobs that you know that we have abandoned. Many of us have abandoned. And so the party line of the new Black Panther Party is we are not against. We are not involved in no border dispute. We don't recognize the white man's border for America. And we're not interested in stopping any of them from coming. If they can get in to make a better life, because the white man internationally has oppressed the peoples of the earth, have blood-sucked the peoples of Central and South America, the reason that they are poor, hungry, naked, and out of doors is because an unequal and blood-sucking capitalistic world order that has squeezed the life out of them and have squeezed them up here. They wouldn't be here if old Uncle Sam hadn't enacted policies decade after decade through the Monroe Doctrine and the Roosevelt Corollary and United States imperialism that have sucked the resources, the minerals, and the food out of their nation and forced them up this way. And so that's my position on that, dear brothers and sisters. I do not recognize the legitimate borders of a criminal settler colony called the United States of America. We can take the next question.
Yes, sir. 626-399, you're on the air with Black Power Radio. Your question with our national chairman, Black Power.
Hotep, Black Power. Yeah, this is Brother Person Kid, and I just admire everything you guys do. You know, everything, our Queen Sister Fasami and our Brother Godzulu, what you guys are doing. I wanted to, and I think we spoke before on another forum there, Brother Malik.
Yes.
I'm deeply involved in the financial markets, and I'm talking deep. So I get to see a lot of things that most people aren't aware of months in advance. One thing that I try to do is give anything I can, because, you know, we all know it takes, you know, money to buy bullets or food. If it comes from us, all I can say is, unlike a lot of the Boule or the other type of Negroes you talked about, the Sharptons, even some pseudo-nationalists that, you know, say, well, we don't want it because of, you know, whatever reason, you know, that they present. If it comes from us, are you willing to accept whatever resource, whether financial or other?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. I would be most honored.
I have to thank
yes,
you
sir.
For fighting for us, okay? As like Sister Fasami and everybody here is fighting for us. And
that's right.
I run into many problems of folks accepting it because, one, they think they're too important to get it, or because of a lot of, you know, there's a whole litany and a multitude of reasons. I just want to thank you for fighting for us, the new Black Panther Party, and all of you brothers and sisters for fighting for us. So I just wanted to put it out there for you.
Yes, thank you. And for those who would like to contribute to our mission, you can go to blackpowerconvention.org, blackpowerconvention.org, and you can donate and make a donation to our program. Brother is certainly right. We need the help in many ways, not just material ways, in other ways. And for those who are listening who follow Sister Fasami radio show and have come to listen to this broadcast as a result of knowing her before you knew us, we welcome you. And we expect her to these airwaves here on Wednesday night. And for those who in the Panther Party don't know her, you will come to know that this is an experienced sister. This sister is a knowledgeable sister and a dedicated sister, and she will be a great help to us in the future.
Yes, sir. You ready for another question, Brother Chairman?
Yes. Yes, Rock.
Okay.
Let's go.
515-779, you're on the air with Black Power Radio, your national chairman. Your question, please.
Black Power, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Black Power, you're on the air with national chairman.
Hi, Brother Sherman. I had a question. My name's Tamar Muhammad, and I wanted to know, like, for instance, do we hold all our black leaders accountable? If we're speaking black power and we embracing the white man, wouldn't all our leaders be accountable for that, or just some?
Be accountable for what was that again you said?
Embracing our fence riding with the white man.
Maybe my phone. You say embracing or what with the white man?
Hold on. Let me turn my television down. Turn that down.
You said one word. I want to be clear on this question.
Basically, what I'm saying is a lot of people are given the Nation of Islam, and everybody feel that you have close ties to Minister Farrakhan. Since they are, quote unquote, embracing letting the white man in the temples for even just a meeting or whatever, which I'm not in the Nation of Islam anymore, so I don't really know what they're, quote unquote, doing, but I know that the white man is able to come into the temple at some particular time. With the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad saying the white man is the devil, and you see it on Facebook all the time, they making excuses why the white man should be amongst us now. Do we stand with him or hold him accountable for that, since he's representing the Nation of Islam as the head, or how would you look at that?
That's a heck of a question. And let's hope the answer is even better.
Okay.
The question for Sister Muhammad, which is a very thought-provoking question, and we will answer the question head-on. The sister is asking the question, brothers and sisters in the radio listening audience, of whether or not that we in the New Black Panther Party, and I as the chairman, will continue to show solidarity with or support for the Nation of Islam under the leadership of Minister Louis Farrakhan, if he is in fact allowing a white man in his mosque or white people in their mosque, and their organizational or religious line may be shifting or changing from the line of the white man is the devil. Is that a fair characterization of your question?
Yes, sir.
That's the sister's question. For those that are listening, let's go after the answer. My dear sister, it is not necessarily the breaking point or the criterion of judgment of whether I would stand with another leader, Minister Louis Farrakhan or any one of them, based on the fact of whether or not they had a white member in their organization, or they had shifted from an ideology that I would think was supposed to be their ideology, or they do something that I even disagree with. I would have to weigh that as a factor, but I don't know if that would be the, I don't think that that would be the breaking point. What I'm saying to you, my sister, if Minister Louis Farr, I don't know. To be honest, I don't know if the Nation of Islam is allowing white people in their mosque to become Muslims. I have not seen one cracker out here with a bow tie on, or I have not seen one cracker with a Final Call newspaper. And I don't think, from my investigation, that's the way they're going. But I have seen at other times them do things with whites that would give rise to your question. Father Flager, or other whites that they may have on stage or have some relations with. My position on that as a leader is that's Minister Farrakhan's business, and that's the Nation of Islam's business. And if those have a problem with who his allies are or what his policy is or what his ideology is, that they should go and question the Nation of Islam. My only question here as a leader of the Panther Party is, should I engage with Minister Louis Farrakhan or the Nation of Islam in a black united front? Or is there some kind of strategic relationship that I should establish with him that would be for the benefit of our people, even if he or they are friends with some whites? If I had to cut my ties or our ties with the Nation of Islam because they had some white friends, I would have to almost cut out everybody I would name. I would have to cut off ties with Omali Yeshiteli and the African People's Socialist Party or the Yahuwu Movement. I just came from their convention in Washington, D.C. In Washington, D.C., in their convention inside of their formation, they have all kind of white folks. They are a socialist organization, and they believe in class struggle along class lines. They have white folks in there everywhere running things, running the operation on a certain level. I still am willing to come out here and say that I will hold, and I don't believe in none of that. And you better be sure there's not one cracker will ever become no member of no new Black Panther Party, and they will not become our friends and our allies, even as we move closer to the original ideology of the Panther Party. But, sister, I would have to cut ties with the Omali Yeshiteli and the African People's Socialist Party if I held them to a standard that you couldn't have no white friends if I'm going to be your friend. I'd have to cut ties with the All African Revolution People's Revolutionary Party under the legacy of Kwame Ture, under the leadership of Bob Brown and others, because they have one or two white friends, even though I disagree with them all the time on this. They have some revolutionary white folks that they say are their white folks and their friends. They're still my allies, but they cannot bring their white folks to around me at all, and I'm not going around them and their white folks. But they are still my brothers and sisters in the revolutionary struggle. There are almost no organization left, sister, that have just black and black only. Even the Honorable Silas Muhammad, who I love deeply and respect the Lost Found Nation of Islam deeply, they still have whites, Ida Hakim and other whites that are in their set and in their circle. And so I have to see and judge whether or not whatever they're doing with the white man, if it's that detrimental, well, I should move away from them. And I haven't seen where it's that detrimental to our mission, where I have to cut ties with them, because I would have to almost cut ties with everybody. I have to certainly cut ties with every politician or civil rights leader, even Charles Barron, strong councilman in New York. I love Charles Barron very much. Charles Barron has him some white friends in the city council and other areas. I'm not knocking Charles Barron for those that are listening. I'm just giving you the reality of what's happening out there. As much as I love and respect the December 12th movement and Omowale Clay and all of those others in D12 have some white communist, white socialist friends and allies. I have to break from them. And so I really don't have the time, my sister, to worry about whether Minister Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam are working with or recruiting white people. I would hope that they wouldn't. I would pray that they wouldn't. But if they do, that's their business, because I'm not in the Nation of Islam. I'm not in control of the Nation of Islam, you know. And that's pretty much my fundamental thinking on it. Now, I believe in the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I believe in what he's teaching and what he taught, and I believe that we in the Panther Party should not waste time going around and nitpicking everybody else's organization and seeking to waste time on having a vote or a referendum on what Farrakhan is doing and what the others are doing. I believe it's a distraction. And so I try to see the good in all of them and what they're doing, and to push our program and to let you know clearly, sister, that our program will never have no white folks up in here. I can guarantee you that from here, sister. Everything else I do will have to be based on everything else I just said. It don't really bother me too much. I hope that they don't do it. It don't really bother me too much. If they invite me somewhere with a bunch of anybody, if anybody's inviting me somewhere where it's a lot of white folks there, I'm going to make a judgment whether or not I should go, and most likely I'm going to pull out. Al Sharpton, with this march on the 28th, he's going to have a lot of white folks with him. I'm not going to be around that. But on another day, if he act right, I could do something with Sharpton or any of them based on something to help black people. And he's friends with everybody. White folks, gays, transsexuals, I mean, goddamn. And so it's just the reality of the world we live in. That's right. For those who are listening, I'm opening up on Al Sharpton until he get right, and I'm giving y'all permission to open up on his ass until he get right. I'm just changing the party line. Y'all can open up on Al Sharpton's ass till he get right with me. And when I say get off his ass, y'all can get off of it. Right now, you can open fire on that Negro. Let's go to the next question.
Thank you.
Thank you, my dear sir.
Question from the chat room, Brother Chairman. They ask, what does one have to do to become a member of the new Black Panther Party?
Hopefully you can contact us and you will reach Brother Sean and Sister Amira and you will have a dialogue. And where you have a dialogue and you will be able to talk your way into the new Black Panther Party based on a criterion and a recruiting process. I would hope that that's where we are. I would hope that if you're dedicated and you have time to give to your community and you want to see your people free, and you believe in what I'm teaching tonight and believe in our platform, our history, and what our teacher, Khalid Muhammad, has taught us. And if you believe in Malcolm, Elijah, Garvey, Kwame Ture, and other greats that have given us these great teachings, that if you believe in all of that, then you are certainly eligible to come. And so you're welcome. You email nbppheadquarters@yahoo.com and you come on in. What I am going to be doing, for those that need to know, in light of what I said earlier, is making sure that your stay here is worthwhile, that your entrance here is successful, that you have an organization here that is professional and well-organized and worth your time, so that we won't disappoint. I want to be able to meet you halfway. So if you put your hand out as a brother or sister and you walk halfway to us, we'll be able to meet you halfway. And so I'm interested in making the Panther program better. That's what I must emphasize tonight. The Panther program must be better. The newspaper program must be better. The community organizing program and political education classes must be better. The way we fight battles and put programs on in the community and fight our battles must be better. We're a great organization. I'm not here to knock us at all. I love all of you. But I would be lying to you if I told you that we had reached the apex. We are far from where we need to go as an organization. We have to get better and stronger. For example, in the newspaper, I'm just talking about being what we're supposed to be so people that can come in to what's real. You couldn't be a Black Panther in the original Black Panther Party and not have you pushing the paper program. That newspaper, under the legacy of Sam Napier, who helped put that paper together, and the other greats who presided over it, Eldridge Cleaver, Huey Newton, Bobby Seale, and others, that paper came out every week. Didn't matter whether Huey Newton was in jail, the paper came out. Didn't matter where Bobby Seale was in jail, the paper came out. It didn't matter whether Fred Hampton or Bobby Hutton had gotten killed or the U.S. government had been on them in every city, the paper came out every week. Every week. Not every year. Every 6,000 years. Every 25,000 years. The paper came out every week. And so the new line going into the fall is no paper, no Panther. No paper, no Panther. If you're not willing as a chapter to get the paper, to push it, to sell it, to turn the money back in and get another one, it's going to be goodbye. We're going to purge the party. If you're the editor of the paper and you're responsible for editing the paper and getting it out and you're ducking and hiding, you will be removed. There's a new editor on the scene. He's sitting right next to me. His name is Imam Akbar Bilal. He will not be able to fail because he's right here. I will strangle him if he fails, but he will not fail. He will not fail, but I'm telling you, we are purging the current editor. as much as we love her, she's out of here because she's not on it enough to be to succeed here. This paper's got to come out. And so our paper's right here. Me and Akbar are going to work this paper until further notice. And when and everybody out there that's got paper money out there that's got it and spent the money and mismanaged the money, you got to get it up again and get it back in. And we will have a team of people on you right away to get it back in, and you will have to produce. The paper's going to come out at minimum once every 2 months, or we will purge those who can't do that. If you can't flip it in 2 months, you will be purged. If I can't flip it in a couple of months, I'll purge myself. No paper, no panther. That's it. We're not playing with this no more. That's why we have to waste a lot of time. Not waste time, but we have to go through extra lengths to clarify our ideology. The Panther paper of the 60s clarified their ideology on a weekly basis, clarified the party line on a weekly basis, educated the people on what they were doing on a weekly basis. You can't sit back and talk about a paper you got back in April and what I'm saying, still passing that paper out. I'm saying something totally different in terms of relevance today. Same ideology, but different relevance, different position, different things are happening. God damn it, we've been attacked by some of the top propaganda artists in the world. Some of the top improper propaganda demons in the whole world saying everything about us. And we fight back like we shooting spitballs at man shooting artillery. Crackers saying everything in the world against us. Our ministers plural of information. We shoot back like we shooting back spitballs at an AK-47. Hell no. Hell no. We have our own news conference, and we have to wait on the devil to tell us what happened at our own news conference. We have to wait on people that are really not even with us to post up on Facebook and YouTube our news conference results, and we're sitting right there with the camera, and it takes us a month to get our own tape out, and we don't even write a story from our own news conference. Hell goddamn no, will I sit here and tolerate that. Hell no. Some of y'all see us under attack, and you don't even write a paragraph. But you're the minister of information. You swear you're the minister of information in your city, and the whole world is talking about the Panther Party. You ain't even shout out an email. But you can write on Facebook all day, but you ain't sat down and wrote 200 or 300 words of research on the Panther Party and put it into the stream to defend your organization, but you chatting on Facebook all day. Hell no. No Panther, no paper. No Panther, no paper, no Panther. No Panther, no paper. That's one of the new criterions that's going to go into a hard line effect as we go into the fall. We got to get serious. We can't keep saying that we are the legacy of the original Panther Party and jiving with this. You can't keep acting like you've gone beyond them, like you are so much fancier than them, like you have an ideology that's so much more sophisticated than them. God damn it, their program was tougher than yours. Am I still on?
Yes, sir. You rolling. Go ahead, sir.
I know I'm stepping on some toes out there, but I got to keep it real. You have not. We have not. We, me, I, we, us, collectively, have not matched the organizing of the Panthers from the 60s. Yes, it's different. It's 2010. Yes, people are more apathetic. Yes, as you always give an excuse, you niggas are dead. They dead out here. Brother Chairman, they dead. And they ain't that damn dead. We have yet to move and to organize in the way those great brothers and sisters did. And so we have to do it or die trying. Now, that's what I mean when I say we have to move closer towards the program and the ideology of the Panther Party. I'm talking about community programs, the paper program. I'm talking about political education programs. I'm talking about education programs. Are you feeding our babies? Are you educating our babies? Is there any way a youngster in the black community can go to the Panther Party for an after-school program, a Saturday school program, a community program. You can't turn this into some kind of gang. It's just you and your homies. If they happen to find you at your spot, they can join. It's just you and your homies. It's the new gang. It's the Crips over here, the Blood over here, the Vice Lord over here, and the Panther over here. Hell no. This is a program for community empowerment, community control. We have to be able to find you, find where you meet at, and have problems that are solved in the community. You have to have a program for the community. You got to have a program. You look at what the Brother Divine Allah is doing right now, back to school. You can go to his Facebook site, Divine for Counsel, and you can see that. It should be up on the website now if they made the changes. If not, you check Divine out. He's giving away everything back to school. He's setting that thing out. School supplies, books, and everything. Divine run him some community programs in Trenton. You can go up to Newark, New Jersey, and they're running them an anti-violence program and a political education program in Newark, New Jersey. They're running that program in Newark. They're running it in Trenton. I got Akbar back here. We're getting ready to double run this thing in Washington, D.C. You know, there are others out there that are running it, but you got to run it better. You got to show that we are moving and doing something for the people. All talk is not going to get it. Brother Samir is moving in that direction. Samir Shabazz is moving in that direction. So there are others that are doing good. I don't want to slight anybody. But as an organization, we've got to do better. It is the policy that we're going to do better. It is my position as the chairman. I'm going to put pressure on us to do better. And I'm willing to fight inside and outside of the party to make it better. And that'll be a better environment for recruits. The recruiting department is going to get better. I'm going to spend time now with Sean and Amira and those that are handling all of these people that are calling in. We're going to get this down to a science so we make it stick. I'm going to take personal attention to it to get the recruiting better. And so a lot of this stuff is not fancy. You know, 80 to 90% of the work is away from the rostrum. It's away from the glory and glow of the camera. It's away from the shine and the spotlight. It's the administrative work. It's the paperwork. It's the computer work. It's the grind work and the groundwork and the administration work that makes it an organization work. Okay? It's not just about flossing. And so that's where I am right there. I'll take the next question, because I see we are running out of time.
Yes, sir. We've got about 13 more minutes, Brother Chairman. Question from the chat room. Is there any room in the organization for an atheist, someone who doesn't believe in a creator?
Yes. I would have to say yes. Though I would disagree with that position. You are not forced to believe in a God or the black God, or forced to believe in a black liberation theology. If you believe in the other parts of the program, helping the people and fighting injustice, then you can get along here. But you must be willing to be tolerant of the believer here. We don't persecute one that doesn't believe here and jump on you and drive you out. You're welcome. But you can't come up in our house pushing an atheist line either. You will not come to no rostrum here teaching no atheism. Not here, but you can be a part of it. There may be others, whatever part you agree, you can express. If you agree with our program for community control, our program for black nationalism and pan-Africanism and all of that, then you are welcome here. But I personally would say that the atheist position is against the African tradition. It's not just against the Panther Party or the Muslim or the Christian or the Hebrew. I would say for sure that the atheist position or the disbelieving position is against the African tradition from antiquity. I can't find any African society going back from ancient Kemet, Nubia, or Kush, or contemporary African civilizations in West Africa, through the 11th through the 15th centuries or others that carried the atheist position. So I still would try to work on you and say that the atheist position, which to me, in our judgment, in our party line, is not the African position. However, if you still discard all that and say to hell with all that, it ain't no God, it ain't no God for us, it ain't no God in you, it ain't no God in me, ain't no God at all, you're still my brother or my sister. I still love you if you will stand up and fight for the rest of the Panther program you believe in. You will not be persecuted here. The rights of the unbeliever, even though that position is in the minority, we will protect your rights. It's not always majority rule and crush everybody else. Even the rights of a minority, though we disagree with them, we will protect your rights. Now, you cannot believe in the white man and be in here. Now, that's it. But if you don't believe in God, that's on you. All right?
Yes, sir. Question from the phone line, 601-540. You're on the air with the National Chairman. Your question, please.
Hotel Brothers.
Hotel.
How you doing, Doctor? Before I answer the question, I know we ain't got much time. I'd like to say you really doing the work of Khalid Muhammad, and I really praise you for that, brother.
Thank you. Thank you so much, brother.
And this is what I want to ask you. A previous brother asked this, and I know that the devil is trying to divide us and break the back of the unity amongst the indigenous people of the world. What you think, like, in your hometown about the current gang wars between, you know, blacks and Hispanics and how the media is amping it up and stuff like that?
I think it's unfortunate. I am from Los Angeles, and I get reports daily, and I'm disappointed and hurt of how the black man and the brown man have now fought wars in the streets of Los Angeles, California, and how our brown brothers and sisters or Mexican gang members have now fired on black youth and children on the street corners of Los Angeles and vice versa. And how it also is serious inside of the jails of California and other areas, but it's serious in the jails. I think it's to the enemy's advantage. I think the enemy hypes it up and promotes it and wants black to fight brown. I don't think it's as serious at this date right now in 2010 as it was maybe a couple of years ago. And I think through strong efforts, we could end it all together. I think one thing we have to say, my dear brother, is that we have devalued black life to the extent where everybody else was willing to take a shot at us.
Yes, sir.
We have gang-banged and cripped on and blooded on and shot each other up and disrespected each other so much that everybody else will say, well, let me take a shot at these fools too. We are not like them in another sense. You cannot go in California and talk to a Mexican sister on the streets without fear that a carload of them, I don't care what time it was, whether we was all at peace, that you can talk to one of their women and they not roll on you and you may lose your life. They don't like you messing with their women. They are more family-oriented and protective of their nation than we are of ours. We kill and beat each other in front of everybody. So one cure, my dear brother, is to stop disrespecting and killing ourselves and stand as a nation. And if anybody aggress on us, white or brown, we stand together and mow their ass down. And the Mexican would not touch the black man if the black man were united. The black man leaves himself open by dividing into sects and parties. First you have the Bloods and the Crips, and then you have the Crips that have split into 100 sects in Los Angeles, California alone. They have split into sect after sect after sect. So Crip is constantly killing Crip and Blood killing Blood. Now you have Blood killing Blood, and then the Mexicans just start killing all of them. And they not like they got no sense that they can unite all the gangs and start killing the Mexicans. And so we have to stop killing ourselves, stop the disunity ourselves. There are other revolutionary moves that could be made with the leaders of the La Raza, the Latino, the Hispanic community. This, a lot of this stuff could be eased up, but it has to be eased up by us standing up stronger and being more revolutionary. I don't like it. And I would say, ultimately, if they don't cut us a break, we have to unite and defend ourselves against anybody. But I think the white man is really hyping it up. I don't think it's as bad as it was a couple of years ago. And I think if we would tone down and stop the killing of each other and driving each other into sex and parties, that we could make serious inroads into solving that problem.
That's right, and I agree. And brother Minister, can I ask you one more question before I go?
Yes, sir.
Like, I agree with you with everything you said about the white man is the devil and how they ain't our friends. But I'm in Mississippi, and I argue all the time with Negroes here who still believe that there is goodness in the devil and the liberal devils and all that.
Well, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Well, that's part of our people, brother, and we don't jump. It's nothing that stops us from doing what we're doing or believing what we believe in. There are many of our people that you will meet that we have to work with in the community every day that believe there's some good white folks. Some that work with white folks, or some that just defend the white man, and the white man ain't nowhere around. Some of them are hard-headed, and I don't want to work with them at all. They waste my damn time defending white folks, and the white man ain't nowhere around. Others of them, they don't exactly believe like us, but they're still our brothers and our sisters. There are many good brothers and sisters in Mississippi who may not hold our strong position throughout the country. They're still good to work with, even though they don't necessarily believe that the white man is their diabolical enemy. And so we find a way to work with them unless they irritate us too much, and they won't work with us because they love white folks, and white folks ain't even around. And so that's it. You know, I just say don't let it hang you up too much is what I'm saying. Let's just keep doing the work. Don't get so frustrated with them. I know people that believe in all of that that you say that we believe in, that the white man is the devil and all of that, and they don't even do nothing. It can't get them to do nothing.
That's right.
You know? I can't get them to do no work, can't get them to do no labor, and they claim their ideology is the strongest. I know others with weaker ideology that do more community work for black people. So I say don't let it hang you up. Just find some people that will help black people to get the job done, and eventually we will be able to convert them to our way of thinking. All right? Dear brothers and sisters, I'm gonna at this point, with a few minutes left in the broadcast, I want to say that I will be black on Wednesday night. And on Wednesday night to take more of your questions. I've been happy to take these questions on the show tonight, guest of Minister Sean, and in her absence, Ms. Fasami. And I bring you greetings on behalf of the National Chief of Staff, Minister Hashim Nzinga, the National Minister of Justice, Minister Akbar Bilal, Sister Amira, our National Assistant, and our other national officials throughout the nation, the National Central Committee. This is the party program and the party line. That's what we're going over, the party program and the party line, and one-on-one with the chairman. You will be able to come back and ask me any questions you desire as we move this program into the fall for the new Black Panther Party. And so we'll tune in next Wednesday, same time, same black channel. We got big things now. I want y'all to understand there are big things awaiting us, and that's why we want to tune in. I love all of you deeply. I am your brother. I am your servant from the cradle to the grave, Malik Zulu Shabazz, giving praise to this black God and to the Honorable Khalid Abdul Muhammad and all of our great ancestors. I'm signing off. Black Power.
Y'all heard it there first. That's the National Chairman. Make sure that you join us again this Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time for more one-on-one with our National Chairman, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz. Love you all. We're signing off with Black Power. It's fun for all.
time. He reps in Wyo, gives he no Serrano. Not church, is how we tied though. He walks in tenement, sleeps at a super fly condo. My kind of nigga, my icon, my idol. No certificate for this misfit who handle business. The odds stacked against him, he fights back Mac and Benzes. Never puts cash or ass before friendship. He laughs last, and some die young, he is still existing. Somehow he got around the pitfalls of the system. When he walks, we watch. When he talks, we listen.
And as you all say, look at me. Everything you like, it fresh from the factory. Everything you do, it impact me. Your lifestyle attract me. Parents try to distract me. When I grow up, I want to be like you exactly. And as soon as I get over this acne, there's no way anybody could have stopped me. I gravitate toward the aura and all the mannerism. Descending out of order and man start moving busy. The locking of the corners, the streets and all the buildings. Me love you like a father, me ready and me willing. Anything where you are taught is lying my dominion. And me have similar thoughts, I share the same opinions. Me have it say you're smart, with my best interests at heart. I'm following your path, your mind where you